Downloading verbally committed.
Welcome to Verbally Committed.
Well, first of all, what kind of mythical powers does a sun devil have? We've got to consider that.
Verbally.
Yeah, you like that one? Let that one soak in for a minute.
Committed.
Well, what do you think? Tell the questions out.
I mean, I'll answer your questions, not your insults.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
What else do you want to know?
See, I'm bitterly disappointed. Can't make that any more clear.
Now, Connor Ryan and Mike Gilligan.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Verbally Committed. You did not miss a week. We missed a week. It's not on you, but we'll get to that in a second. Presented by Couch Guy Sports, I'm Connor Ryan.
And I'm Mike Gilligan.
Yeah, so we haven't been around for a couple of weeks. That is our fault. Well, mostly my fault. Both of us, like, same weekend, went through life-changing events, both in moving. You know what's funny, though, Gilly, is that you moved, like, three states, four states, five. The geography skips me here, but I think three, four, unless if you drive through New Jersey. I guess it depends how you got there, but you moved like three, four states over from Rhode Island to Philadelphia. I moved 4 miles down the road from my apartment to my house, and I literally did not even change a zip code. And I was the one that actually needed more time for moving and such, and that's why we didn't put out an episode last week. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that something?
That is crazy. And now look at you now. Now you're back in it. You're on a large sectional couch that, yep, I don't even know, a small football team could fit on, and just living the dream. I like it. I like your light fixtures in the background. They look pretty cool. I don't know. Looks like you're some type of fancy restaurant or a Pier One Imports, perhaps.
My little bar area, but without a bar. If you can see where I can't point right, but that little picture right there, that is the groomsman from the wedding throwing the bone, since it was wedding day, but also game day. That was the rallying cry for that. So, but that was before Verbally Committed. But anyways, yeah, that's why. Explanation for you. That's why we didn't have an episode last week. We were both moving, but Gilly did it in one shot. Congrats to you, Michael. I did not. We broke it up over a week. I feel it's a little different. Like, when you're going as far as you are, you have to do it in one shot. There is no, like, Rhode Island to Philadelphia in, like, two, three trips. It's like you get one trip to move everything. Whereas I literally, like, had two, three trips a night with little boxes of stuff. So a little different, but still, I'll take the heat. That's fine.
good. I did have a small army of people helping me too, so that certainly helped in terms of the big day that I moved. But glad to be back. You know what? We didn't miss a whole lot, I wouldn't say either. It's not like anything crazy happened that went around. So we probably missed the timeline of talking about that of relevancy, which I'm sure people are very in tune and tapped into the world of college club Quidditch. But I don't know. Yeah. Other than that, didn't miss a whole lot. So no harm done.
We did. No. You know, basketball just kind of kept rolling on. Nothing crazy happened in football. Like, the biggest news is that Gus Malzahn got hired at UCF. And that's like one of those, like, head scratching ones. Like, really? Like, I feel like that's I don't know. It's a weird one for both sides. Like, I get it for UCF. Gus Malzahn's kind of a bigger name than they usually get, but for, I don't know, I feel like they could have done better than that guy, but whatever. That's, you know what? Congrats to him and his family. Well, they now get to live in Orlando.
They have the reputation of being like the up and coming. Is that where?
That's for UCF? But, yeah, Orlando.
That's where. Oh, fuck. I didn't know that. I thought they just, like, really? Stayed there or some shit.
No, yeah, that's where it is.
You know what, Mike? I'm clearly all messed up in terms of my understanding of informed me that the Florida Panthers played in Miami, which is news to me. I kind of thought you were lying, to be honest with you. I thought there was going to be, like I said, like Tallahassee or like the Everglades or something.
And trust me, you looked it up.
Not really. I really did. he's just trying to, he's yanking my chain here. Like, no way. The Florida Panthers. They should have such a cool name.
The Florida Panthers from Jupiter, Florida.
Yeah, exactly. That would make more sense to me than being the freaking Florida Panthers of Miami. Are you? Come on, that's stupid.
The Miami Panthers of Florida.
Yeah, imagine they just
University of Florida of Miami.
But I'm with you though. In terms of like UCF, I feel like that's kind of got a I feel like that's like a stepping stone type program for the coach that's ready to make that big next move. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why it doesn't really make a lot of sense for a guy that's been around like Gus Malzahn, at least like on the surface level. But hey, if that's their guy, then maybe they'll ride him out for the next 5 to 10 years and see what he's got. So
maybe,
I don't know. Maybe they're sick of losing guys. That could be the other thing too. Maybe they're like, all right, if you're willing to commit to us and we'll win another natty with you.
After yeah. Gus Malzahn's not going undefeated at UCF. That's not happening. No, you're right. That was like really the only news we really missed. Nothing crazy really happened. One big thing that we need to clear up on this podcast is, again, friend of the program, longtime listener, one of our guests once, Brian Brewster, does not believe that you've ever drank a Miller High Life. Do you want to address those claims
have
now?
In college. I have in college. We were just talking about this a little bit before. I need to buy like a six pack of the bottles. I can't find them in Philly quite yet. I've seen the cans. I need to find a six pack of bottles, and I'm going to, I don't even know. I'll have documents.
They even come in cans. Capacity.
What? What? What was that?
They even come in cans. All I know is they come in bottles.
Oh, please. Oh my gosh. Nothing but the best out there in the Midwest, apparently. Yep. Over here, we're slumming it with cans, doing what we can. Just doing what we can to get by here in the city of brotherly love. Don't mind me.
Yeah, don't mind you and your cheese sticks. No,
I'm a changed man.
Okay, there you go. Brian could not believe you drank a High Life. He just doesn't. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm enjoying a High Life as 100%. We speak.
I know. And I keep, every time I go to a liquor store, technically it's a weird situation in Pennsylvania, which might be obvious to some, but it's kind of like a deli type vibe in terms of like where they sell beer, and then like liquor stores sell like liquor and wine. So it's kind of annoying in that sense. Cause
they sell like beer markets at the Walmart or whatever, right?
No, I don't believe so. Really? You're going to roll your eyes at this, but I've only been frequenting the Trader Joe's in the area. So. They don't sell.
I saw your tweet.
They don't sell alcohol though, which is, I thought, yeah, but that, to be honest,
is that a Pennsylvania state law or a Trader Joe's law?
No, it's a Pennsylvania state law, because I know that like supposedly Trader Joe's has dope wine. So I wanted to get like a bottle of red wine. For like, because it's like $4 or $5, something stupid, but it's like solid wine. So I guess I'll have to venture over state lines for that. But So I'll have to find my Miller High Life. Speaking of beer, actually, the place across the street from my apartment building, they are price gouging like you would not believe for six packs of beer. It is insane. They're charging like $18 for six packs of like.
Wow.
I've gotten like Victory, like, you know, Victory. It was a sour beer, to be honest, but still, like, it's normally like $12 to $13, maybe $14 somewhere. I'm paying $18 a pop there for a six pack. Unreal. I'm no longer taking my business to the Latimer Deli in the city of Philadelphia. So, you know what? I hope they listen, and I hope they figure their shit out, because I'm sick of it. And I don't know if they're taking advantage of me, if I just look like they can just add a few bucks on the, I don't know. Probably
they
not.
They see you walking in with your A10 talk and your Rhode Island stuff. And they're like, oh, this idiot. Oh yeah. $18 here in Philly. And you walk out and they like take the thing off. And it's like, hey, a $2 special.
No, I've been subtle. I wore my Red Sox.
What a dumbass after you leave.
Wore my Red Sox hat for the first time the other day. So I've been trying to be good. I don't want to draw attention to the fact that I'm not a Philadelphian officially. I guess I am now, but like, you know.
Yeah. I met my neighbor tonight after my run, and saw on his door he had a Notre Dame Fighting Irish like decoration. Thought it was a little too soon to talk about that, so just let it go. Bring that up another time, you know.
I give good you icebreaker credit, for I later. Feel like that must have taken so much out of you to hold back like a little jab. Like, I just feel like you would just do that naturally. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Like, oh, you had a shitty New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, didn't you? Huh? You had a shitty New Year's Day.
It's probably going to be another few years before you get another chance at the college football playoff, huh?
Hey, thanks for covering the spread, at least, Notre Dame. Appreciate it.
Hey, did they find Manti Te'o's girlfriend yet?
Yeah. Is that her in your garage? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh,
this guy's going to hate you from day one. Just
remember that time Eric Crouch beat you in overtime? That's maybe a little bit before your time. But, no, presented by Couch Guy Sports. Check out couchguysports.com for blogs, other podcasts. There's a bunch starting up. And, of course, Gilly's Small State Big Takes. The other one he's on is on there. Go check that out. I do want to bring this up quick, Gilly. I can't remember if we've talked about it on this podcast, but you and I talk about it a lot. And I don't know who's going to listen, and I don't know who's going to roll their eyes at us, but I enjoy being correct. I enjoy sounding – I enjoy, you know, not having to correct myself later. I enjoy trying to sound semi-intelligent. No one's ever accused me of being smart. Let's not get that confused. But they're not articles. They are blogs. It drives me insane. It drives me up a wall. Look, I don't know who's I don't know if there's other bloggers listening, and this is not an indictment of how I think of you, obviously, as a person, but I see people tweeting like article coming soon, or here's my article about this. And like, it's not an article, it is a blog. Sam Hardiman writes articles. He is an actual journalist. He writes articles. Even when I put out press releases for the Sioux City Explorers that end up being copied into the newspaper, I don't count myself as like a moonlight journalist who's writing articles. I wrote a press release. They copied and pasted it. Yeah. It technically looks like an article, but it's not. Like it drives me insane.
Words
it's
matter. A blog. Words and semantics right. matter. Words matter. So I'm with you. Because I 100%. It's something that you'll never see me do either, to be honest with you. Cause it's just like in my mind, that's how I'm wired. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't deviate from that. So I do agree with you. If anything, one thing I would say is if there's another phrase for it, it might be like
a column.
If you're opposed to a column, like an internet column. Like that's the only which again, sounds kind of vague and bizarre, but it is what it is.
That's technically what it is. An internet column. And I'm guessing it probably just blog was slang and now it's just like an everyday word, but it's an internet column. Article is like factual. Here's the best way I can describe it for people. Columns are fiction. They can be fiction, but it's an opinion. Like it's your opinion. An article is fact, straight up fact. You are not giving an opinion. And an article is saying there was a fire at 47 7th Street. The house burned down. Everybody survived. That's an article. Like that is an article. It was started by a lit cigarette. A column is like, should we be still smoking cigarettes because they burn your house down? More on this now. Like that's that is a column. An article is just reporting. I know there's someone, I think Al, who listens to us religiously, who I've heard him on his own podcast talk about how he's like, I don't give a shit. It's an article, blog. Who cares? It's all
really?
The same thing.
He's made this.
I've heard him say it. I've heard him say it because I think someone tried to correct him, and I was like, I don't give a shit anymore. It's an article to me. I'm sitting here now, Al. I'm telling you, it's not an article. It's a blog. It's an internet column. It's the farthest thing from an article it could possibly be. So
that's funny. Whew,
okay. I got that off my chest publicly. That's all I needed to do.
There you go. That's how you do it. I'm looking for the origin of the word blog, by the way, and I'm not really. I'll have to dive a little bit deeper because it's a little bit more complicated than I expected. So.
Check out couchguysports.com. Some great internet columns on there. The other personal thing we want to throw out.
World Wide Web opinion columns. Just like really elongate it to the max.
The sectional male sports internet columns.
Yeah.
Welcome. Couch Guy Sports articles. Oh man. The other personal thing I wanted to get off my chest is, which I haven't said yet tonight, but Gilly did it like way back when our first like five episodes, but I'm doing it now, sporting a mustache. I know all of you listening to the podcast can see, but just want to say, sporting the mustache here tonight. Like Gilly, starting it off as a joke, just to annoy my wife. Now I'm actually sort of like keeping it more than 24 hours. And like I said, just met my neighbor for the first time today, and I was wearing this mustache. So boy, do I ever feel like an idiot. Like, how do you feel if the first time
when did it hit you,
huh?
That you had your, when did it hit you that you had a mustache when, as you're talking and like meeting him? Cause I'm sure instinctively you're like, I should meet this guy. Like, this is a chance.
Yeah. No, because I went for my run and he was standing outside with like another guy and their kids were playing together. And I just waved because I was like, I don't want to like start by talking and be like, all right, well, I'm going to go on my run. I was like, if I come back, I'll wave. If they're still there when I come back, I'll say hi. You know, the nice thing to do, maybe not what people do anymore in 2021, but I felt like it was the right thing to do.
If only you heard what they were saying. Who's a creepy dude with a mustache?
No, they're boy, now that I think back on it, they're like, kids, come here, and they're like, now that I look back on it, they're like, kids, stay close to me. And I just thought, you know, oh, nice family. But
hold my hand.
Yeah. Don't get too close to this man. I'm like, oh, no. But I came back from my run, and I was like, all right, I'll go up and meet them and talk to them. And then, it was when I was in the shower afterwards. I was like, oh, shit, I met him with my mustache. I feel like I should run back out there and be like, hey, quick side note, sidebar, you will not see me in this mustache 99% of the time, so please do not judge me off of this appearance. But I don't know. I think it looks okay. Even my wife, who, again, thought I was just being stupid and annoying with it, said this morning I looked like someone on TV, but she can't put a finger on it. So, I mean, there's a start. She was like, you look like someone familiar. She was like, I don't know. I think they're on TV. And she's like, I don't know who it is, though. I'm like, well, that's not terrible, then. You can't be on TV and be ugly. So,
yeah, I'm curious now.
I know, me too.
I wonder, like, it's very news anchory, I feel like, to have a cool mustache like that. Mm. It could be maybe like Ron Burgundy. Is that what she's thinking?
I don't know. I don't know thinking of, but nope. So we're going to put that on our Twitter. Who wore it better, Gilly's mustache or mine? Oh. So keep a look on that at Pod Verbal Commit. Who's wearing the mustache better? So my guess, I'm going to shave this in a few days.
More normal working. Okay.
I'm probably going to shave it in a few days and then I'll come back like during the, so my plan is now I'm going to try it again during the summer. So like have my like beard grow out, like when we're at home for a homestand for the Explorers. And then when I go on the road for like a week, away from home and my wife can't see me every day, then I'll shave everything but the mustache, leave it on, see how the team responds. I mean, they're probably just going to give me shit the entire time, but that'll give me a chance to like really grow it out for a week. I'll do it like when we're down in Texas. So like there is a 0% zero chance anyone down there is ever going to recognize me ever again anyways, or even meet me again. So that's my plan. There we go. Sticking
to it. Right in. You'll fit right. Maybe you should do, you know what?
I will.
Dare I say you do the handlebars that I did? That could be a, that would be cool. Especially like in an area.
Like we said, sometimes with the mustache, sometimes some people can pull it off. A handlebar, though, we said this before we started recording, you have to kind of like model your lifestyle after that. Like you can't just be, like I said, you don't find any accountants with a handlebar mustache. You have to like you said, Gilly, you have to buy a Harley. You have to join a motorcycle gang, or you have to like all of a sudden, like you cannot be a regional sales manager with a handlebar mustache. You have to drop that job and like go become a mechanic.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, no, that is true. That's fair. So
you have to like start telling people
mustache lifestyle.
Yeah. So your tire was flat because there's a giant nail in it. We patched that up, but I'm not here to tell you, you really need a new air filter.
Yeah. you got a sparky leak tube here. You're going to need to replace that ASAP.
You're going to need some. At your mileage, we recommend getting some of these fluids. It's going to set you back about $500. What do you think? What do we think on that? Yeah, I don't think I need that. No, you definitely don't. No, we're just ask them. We have to. It's our job.
I've seen it 1,000 times. That's a cracked oil filter.
Yeah. Right?
That's completely normal. Cracked, don't worry.
Shouldn't it be leaking? No, and they don't leak. No. I'm just saying. No.
I'm just saying it's cracked.
Oh. See, this is what we've been missing. This is what we've been missing the last couple weeks because we didn't do last week. We're just making up for lost time. You know, we come back hot. We got, you know, the blog versus article issue. I've got a mustache, you know, meeting new people in a mustache, you know. So we're firing on all cylinders coming back from our quick hiatus. So
new setups too. Is this gonna be a permanent setup? This is your podcasting area.
Yep. This is my basement. This is my man cave. So with my shuffleboard right over here. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I am jealous. I am jealous. Although I'm convinced I'm going to wax you in shuffleboard the first chance I get. So be ready.
Probably. More than likely. I'm still practicing. I'm still working on it. So I think my sand, is a little too fast because there's a very fine line with like, there's a very fine line. I don't know. I gotta get slower sand. That's my thought process.
My God, I'm sure it's regulation. You're just trying to get an edge. I get it.
You're gonna come in and you're gonna be too much touch. Shove the puck down the board.
But that's how it goes. Sometimes that's how it goes. Where it's like the first one, if you have to move some sand in terms of to truck through there, it might not go very far. It might be short of the board. That's just the way it goes. But hey, that's just my shuffleboarding opinion, to be honest with you. So don't mind me.
I've only played a handful of games against my wife, so I'm very green at the game. But
the rules. I will admit that in terms of scoring. Every time we played like new rules, like first to 21, okay, you wipe. I don't know. We played like cornhole style, like, I don't know, a bunch of different things. But
okay,
so that's one thing that we tried to look it up online. It didn't make any sense because things
really makes a ton of sense. It's easy. The deepest,
I don't know,
deepest puck on a board gets counted, and then it's the same for like that color. How many ever, like, if you get two that are deeper than the, like, if there's two, I have a red and a blue. If there's two red deeper than like the first blue, those two get counted. But if it's one red, then one blue, then it's only the one red that gets counted.
Oh, see? Okay. Hey, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like that. So
look at that. That's all it took, apparently. Tom Selleck over here.
That's who it is. That's who my wife was thinking about. Oh, now it makes all sense. Oh, okay. Oh.
Cool one.
Maybe I look like Big Cat. That could be it. He's a good mustache guy. He's got a mustache.
He
wears it well.
He does. I can see too. Your hair is kind of ruffled right now. I know we're an audio only podcast, but I could see that as well. Burt Reynolds potentially. I don't know if you're gray enough for that yet. But,
Not quite yet. Yeah, I'm just exuding sex right now. Is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Back to
Burgundy. Just, that's what I think.
Just, I mean. Irresistible at the moment. Oh, poor everybody. It's all audio only. They're like, oh, let me see them. But anyways,
they'll be able to see on Twitter your lovely stash.
I'll put out the tweet here after this episode. So check it out at Podverbal Commit on the old tweeter machine. But tonight we're going to kind of focus on college basketball because that's what's going on right now. Do we want to give a shout out, though, before we forget, to our good friends over at University of Michigan. They swept Ohio State this past weekend in basketball, hockey, and was it women's basketball too? I know hockey, they beat them handedly, like 6-0, crushed them. Basketball, they beat them. I think maybe women's basketball too, or volleyball. I can't remember which one, but it was like a clean sweep of Ohio State. So that's a big, big week for Michigan. They usually don't beat Ohio State a lot, but
in all other sports they do, just not football.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
But that's why I took them number one in my power rankings last week or 2 weeks ago in my draft, you know, top schools to vote or to root for.
I really thought I was going to get them
across the board.
We should, you know what? Nope. Last week would have been the week to do it. But we can do it after the fact, another poll perhaps to match up those lineups of colleges that we picked there.
True.
I don't think we did that, right?
I did a poll, but didn't get too many votes, and I think I buried it, unfortunately, like in a thread. So
okay. We'll have to try that again.
bad marketing on my part.
Yeah, I already forgot about it. That's how poor it was. No, I'm
just kidding. I know, like my cryptic Sioux City Explorers tweet today. But Gilly knows about it anyways. Anyway, again, I want to focus on college basketball, what we've missed over the last couple of weeks. And Gilly, I'm just going to basically sit here and like ask you questions and let you kind of run with it. My first one, and this is a personal one for you, but just what in the world is wrong with your Rhode Island Rams?
You know what? They're a fascinating team this year. They've played every team like decently well, to be honest with you. They haven't really gotten blown out, but it's been so, so painful in the sense that they just can't put it together. They win games they probably don't deserve. They've beaten Dayton, VCU, et cetera, a bunch of teams that are probably going to be in the tournament. And then they lose to like a GW this weekend, this past weekend, I should say. So it's a bummer. They're going to be fun in the A-10 tournament. Realistically, they probably won't win it, but that's at this point, obviously that's their only chance at making the NCAA tournament when going on a run. But I hope they kind of pull off a couple upsets and at least make some noise, maybe get to the semis. But yeah, pretty painful, kind of sad, but I don't know. I don't know if Fats Russell will be back. That'd be cool to have him take advantage of that extra year of eligibility. But I'm curious across the board, realistically, how many players that are seniors now, that don't really have like super great NBA prospects, like situations, how many of them come back for that fifth year of eligibility due to COVID and everything like that? I don't know how I feel about that, 'cause it is one of those things that limits the impact of freshmen next year. So I'm sure there's some incoming freshmen that are not going to be happy, but at the same time, it could be a really fun year next year as well, where it's just like super loaded teams in terms of talent and experience. But yeah, Rhodey's kind of toast. Honestly, Providence College, not too far situation for them either. They've really
They just started playing in Xavier. Calm down over there.
In the crap basket. They're in the crap basket themselves. So I don't want to hear it from anyone on Twitter or trying to talk shit about Rhodey, because PC, and actually pretty similar thing. PC keeps winning against like these like really elite teams, and then they'll like lay an egg against DePaul or something stupid. So it is what it is. But Rhode Island basketball overall, between the two major, I know people probably don't care about Bryant, but I think it's an up and coming program overall. But they got hit by COVID really bad, so they've really taken a few steps back. But yeah, other than that though, it's been an interesting college basketball season. A lot of ups and downs, like we've talked about before. The good classic blue bloods are not acting like blue bloods. Even North Carolina lost tonight to Marquette.
They're crushed.
Yeah, so that's I don't know. It's just a weird season, dude. Because even Duke is like woken up lately. But I think Duke will make the tournament. But it's going to be bizarre. It's going to be like a 13-14 seed, and it's going to look like a Photoshop thing when you see a bracket, and it's like, what? You get, I don't even know. Duke, like the 14 seed playing against Drake, the 3 seed? Like that would be the weirdest scenario, I think.
I was going to ask you about Duke because they had an impressive win over Virginia where they were underdogs at home. Virginia just lost to NC State tonight. So one, is there any panic about Virginia? But then yeah, two, Duke, like obviously a very up and down season, mostly down, but all of a sudden they're kind of coming on strong here. So you think they make the tournament?
I think they do. I think the ACC is still too deep of a conference to not have like five, maybe six teams in the tourney. And I think that Duke is a better team than North Carolina realistically. Despite, I think they've played a few less games in North Carolina, but at the same time, they seem to be getting hot at the right time here. Virginia, on the other hand, they are kind of on the opposite end after tonight's loss against NC State. That's going to make three in a row. The last two, they should have won against Duke, and granted, that was a close game. And then NC State, another decently close game. They lost by 7 tonight. And then the game previous to that was Florida State, which I kind of understand them losing to Florida State, but they to lose to Florida State by 21 and then drop two more after that. That's I'm a believer in Virginia, to be honest with you, but that's got me really feeling suspect. They're going to have to show me quite a bit in the ACC tournament for me to really have them advancing very far at all in my bracket. because it's just not Virginia basketball of what we're used to. Three straight games of allowing over 66 points a game, which that might sound like solid, but like that's not Virginia basketball. Come on.
Right.
That's just they're used to muddying it up in terms of 60 points would be like the max a team gets against them. So kind of rough stretch for Virginia there. But the ACC in general is going to be it's going to be a fun ACC tournament, actually, because I feel like a lot of like decent teams, nobody that like Florida State is probably the strongest team at this point by a bit. So I'd probably peg them as the favorites, but no, it's kind of weird. It's, and again, it's just such a weird season, like Duke, North Carolina, both of them could be out of the tournament realistically.
Yeah.
Which sounds crazy, but it is what it is.
Michigan. I mean, we talked about them a few weeks ago when we were wondering, are they for real? It looks like they are for real. Cause again, like I said, they just beat Ohio State. They have only one loss on the season. And what's a ridiculously good Big Ten, because usually you go by like how many teams from each conference make the tournament. For the Big Ten, this is how good they are. I don't need to even tell you how many teams are going to make the tournament. It's the fact that right now in Joe Lunardi's bracketology, he has Michigan as a one seed, Ohio State as a one seed, Iowa as a two seed, and Illinois as a two seed. You have four teams within those top eight teams, half of the like top eight, according to Joe Lunardi, in the country and in that tournament are Big Ten teams. The other two one seeds are Baylor and Gonzaga, and then the other two seeds, Alabama, Villanova. So that tells you how good Michigan is. I'm a little surprised at Ohio State as a one seed, but that also shows you how, like we just talked about, how impressive Michigan's win was the other week or this past weekend against Ohio State. So is Michigan the team to beat in the Big Ten? We didn't think that a few weeks ago, Michael. We still had it pegged as like Iowa or Illinois, but has Michigan earned that right, that distinction now?
Yeah, I would say so, because especially in the granted, I think Ohio State, to be honest with you, might be a little overranked. They've dropped a few more games this year. I think they have five losses. A few of them are to like mediocre, middle of the road teams. Some teams that might be, I shouldn't say that, middle of the road Big Ten teams, still high quality teams, but not creme de la creme like a Michigan or anything like that. They've got some upsets. I think they beat Iowa a few weeks ago. They play them again, so that'll be interesting if they can do that twice. But on Michigan, yeah, I think they're for real. Honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, it's kind of put up or shut up time, and they really have not taken their foot off the gas pedal. One actually, a little fun fact, I don't know if you saw this, but this year's Michigan Wolverines basketball team was the first number three team in the country to get every single number three vote in a college basketball or football poll since the 2019 Oklahoma Sooners, which it's just a random stupid stat, but it was funny just to see. You had some vast majority, obviously, was in favor of Gonzaga being the number one team in the country. Couple votes for Baylor as number one, and then whatever team was not listed at one was number two. Everyone had Michigan as number three, which is just, that's just kind of a rarity, kind of cool, stupid little fun fact for you. And I don't really remember the full context of 2019 Oklahoma, where they were that automatic three team in the country, but. It's rare that you see that in terms of, I don't know, unanimous vote for the number three team of all things. It's kind of bizarre, but yeah, I think they're for real. I'm excited about the Big Ten tournament, realistically, because it could, those teams that you mentioned, I think anyone could win it all. Probably Michigan's to lose at this point, but at the same time, Illinois or Iowa, if they get hot, they certainly could make a run. And I'll respect Ohio State to the effect that they'll probably. I would probably say there'll be a two or three seed. At the end of the day, I feel like one is a little ambitious. But at the same time, they've won against some of those big teams in the Big Ten to deserve their a high ranking. So yeah, remains to be seen. But no, it's fun, and we knew early on in the season. To be honest with you, we were hyped up on the Big Ten being like the oh, yeah. vast superior conference. So I don't think that's news to us, but I think the order of teams, as you alluded to, might be the more surprising part. And even like Rutgers is still fun, man. Like they might be playing, like, I think they might be around 500 in the conference, but they're still like they could hang with anybody. They did lose to Michigan recently and Iowa, but like, I'm still convinced that Rutgers is good enough to be able to play with some big boys. So I believe they beat Illinois early in the season, because that was, to be honest, I bet against them and I was kicking myself for that. But I'm curious to see what they do in the Big Ten tournament as like one final stand.
It's kind of funny you say that, because Rutgers is right now projected as an 8 seed, and they're right now projected to go play against North Carolina, which, I mean, that, like you just said, maybe not big boy this year, but certainly a blue blood. So, I mean, Rutgers, North Carolina in most years it would look like a lopsided blowout. But this year could be an interesting matchup where, yeah, Rutgers could come away as a winner. Usually in most years, the ACC is usually actually the best conference in basketball. Big Ten has been taking that over the last couple of years, especially this year. But would you argue that, I guess maybe I'll argue that the ACC is not even the second best conference this year, but actually that title belongs to the Big 12.
I would agree with you, actually. I feel like it's okay. It's such a strange season for a number of reasons, but I would, yeah, because you're totally right. And I think part of that might be a little top heavy in terms of the Big 12. But I think it's Big 10, Big 12. And even you might be able to convince me that the Big East is better than the ACC at this point. I don't know. Maybe that's crazy to say in that order there. But yeah, no, I completely agree with you. The Big 12 came to play this year for whatever reason, and kind of in an unorthodox way from what we've seen. It's not like Kansas is the number one team in the country, yeah, like they have been for forever. But you have, I don't know, I think they have 5 or 6 teams in the top 25 right now. They'll probably have at least 6, if not 7 teams in the tournament. So yeah, I would agree with that. I wouldn't fight you on that.
Okay. No, you're right, because I mean, Baylor's the best team in the Big 12 by far. But then actually ranked ahead of Kansas are other Big 12 teams, like Oklahoma is 7th. You still have West Virginia at 10th, Texas at 14. Then you get Kansas at 17. And then right behind them at 18 is Texas Tech. So, I mean, and you could argue that they should be flip-flopped like they are in the coaches poll, where Texas Tech is 17th, Kansas is all the way down at 19th, and then Oklahoma State, don't forget about the Cowboys. They're ranked in the coaches poll, not in the AP 25. So, again, Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham, that's not a team to be forgotten as well. So I think that's a good theory, that right now the season is the Big Ten by far, like they're on a cliff on their own. But then Big 12 is really not that far behind them. We're always just so used to the ACC, Duke, UNC, Virginia, always like gets our attention. But I mean, who's the first ACC team that's ranked? Florida State at 11th. That's the first one. That's your top team is the number 11 Florida State Seminoles. Well, I know you love Florida State. They're good. But then Virginia Tech are right behind them. And then again, another drop off. I think you could make the argument that the SEC is even better than the ACC this year.
Yeah. I mean, the SEC is having its own issues, but yeah, I guess it depends on how much you believe in a team like Alabama, which I do. I think they're legit threats to make a run of sorts. But no, I mean, the one thing though, real quick on the Big 12, and this is just like set an amazing and like kind of funny precedent in a way. One thing that was a slight oversight in terms of me saying that they could have 6 or 7 teams in the tournament. Realistically, it probably caps out at 6, because if you recall, Oklahoma State not eligible for the NCAA tournament this year in terms of them doing what they're doing. I think that it was a self-sanctioned thing. I'm kind of fuzzy on it, but that being said, how cool would it be if Oklahoma State goes on a run, wins the Big 12 tournament, and then it's just like, sorry, we're not allowed to be in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Where it's like, bam, like they're one of the best teams in the country. And it's like, they're just sitting at home. Like that's the way to do it. And I hope I'm obviously they want to do that. Right. Cause that'd just be such a funny and like cool way to go out. If you're a team that kind of has, I shouldn't say nothing to play for, but kind of, and you have arguably the best player in the country in Cade Cunningham. So yeah, no, that would be awesome. Oh, little cat sighting here. For those listening at home, Roscoe's
little Roscoe's also got a little bit of a mustache, so he's on the mustache train. He's got a little thing that looks like a mustache. He's been playing on the shuffleboard, actually. So, but no, and my next question for you here, as I just interview you about college basketball, but since you're the A10 talk guy, you got your little sweet quarter zip stuff there. Shout out, by the way, go check out A10 Talk. Was it just A10Talk.com for your blogs?
A10Talk.com. Yeah, check us out on Twitter.
Okay.
A lot of Twitter followers on there too. It's a legit account. It's almost too much responsibility for me to live tweet Rhodey games. Like, I think it's like 10,000 plus followers. So it's like kind of intimidating to be like, I'm going to send some hot takes about this URI team that's frustrating me right now out to 10,000 strangers that don't know me.
And that's might be one where like players would follow it too. So you could be, coaches, players, like they could see, like if you insult a player, he might be like, wow, screw that guy. You gotta be on your top notch game here.
True. And they actually had a, I won't go into it too much, but there was a situation recently where someone tweeted out too much of a hot take or something where it was like, they just like alienated one of the A10 fan bases. So they had to take a tweet down because it's like, guys, we can't be doing that. Like, so it is. And it wasn't me, obviously. I would not have done that. I'm more careful than that, but still. So it's just funny though, in terms of the, with great power comes great responsibility, that type of mentality. But I mean, the A10 should be interesting enough. It's not as deep of a conference as we probably thought it was, or at least I thought it was coming into the season. Standings, if you've seen the standings of the A10, it's a nightmare. It's a disaster. It just makes no sense.
I was about to ask you about, I mean, I can't believe this team's at the top. The Bonnies, St. Bonaventure. How deep of a run could they make?
They could probably make I'd say a Sweet 16 run is in them, to be honest with you. They're getting hot at the right time. The thing with the St. Bonaventure, is that they like had a real weird start to the season where I want to say they had COVID early, like as a team situation in the program. And then they were like delayed to start the season, like by a month, if not more than that, than everyone else. So they're probably peaking at the right time. And I shouldn't even say peaking, they're 12-3 on the season, 10-3 in the conference. Like they're kind of okay. You know what I mean? They're probably going to have a decent seed. They're probably knocking on the door of the top 25. I think Sweet 16 is possible for them. But one thing, and I think it's different now because of a couple games have happened, but UMass was like at the top of the conference like a few days ago with like an overall record of 7-5. They might have been 6-2 or 6-3 in the conference, but because like the teams that are in the A10 have had such varying degrees of like situations with COVID that where they've had to cancel like a number of games, so that was just like their record just like carried them to that situation. Richmond and UMass each have played 9 games of A10 basketball. George Washington has played 7. URI, for example, has been the complete opposite. They're 7-9 in the conference with 18 games played. So I won't say what I want to say in terms of who knows if I won't even put it into the universe, but I just mean if certain teams had different fates and COVID timing happened differently, who's to say that a URI team could be one of those 6-3 teams as opposed to like 7-9 and go through a losing skid like they have? It's just interesting and it's bizarre. I think A10 will be fine next year and have a bunch of teams in, but right now probably 2, maybe 3 bids for the NCAA tournament, unfortunately.
Okay, all right. I was gonna say the A10 right now. Yeah, it's I'm on Joe Lenari's bracketology. It's 2. VCU and St. Bonaventure, both an 11 seed. My last question for you here tonight, Michael, is outside of the top 25, which is about outside of like the first 5 seeds or so. So capping it off at say like a Wisconsin, Purdue, Texas Tech, Creighton, which is, I mean, maybe right around where the top 25 is, Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas, USC, et cetera, those types of teams. So I'm going to ask you here, but which one of those teams, like a seed 6 or lower, could you see making kind of a big time run in the tournament? So I'll give you like a few names out here just to kind of get your brain rolling here, but a Florida, Oregon, a Tennessee. Well, I guess I said them, a Clemson, Maryland, Louisville, BYU, Indiana, and Xavier, Arkansas, Wichita State. I don't know if they have another one in them. We just mentioned like UCLA, Boise State, LSU, again, VCU, you know, maybe a Virginia Tech, Belmont, Rutgers, UNC, San Diego State, Loyola Chicago. I know San Diego State's made some runs in the past. Toledo, University of California, Santa Barbara, one of the best mascot nicknames out there, Gauchos, the Gauchos. Missouri, Seton Hall. I mean, remember Seton Hall has been really, was really good last year. Colorado, Drake, teams like that. Who's like outside the top 25 that you could see like all of a sudden catching fire in March and taking it, not the distance, but, you know, get Sweet 16. They, you know, they're the Cinderella team of that first weekend.
Yeah, no, I like that. And it's ironically enough, I was waiting for you to possibly name them, and you did with the last team you named, Drake. Oh. I think Drake is the team that I would be like in on of like a tourney run. I'm probably going to lean into them too hard in terms of any potential wagers slash my brackets that I start pumping out in a few weeks here. But Drake is probably the team I'm most intrigued by those names. It's tough because it's one of those things where it's like a lot of those teams that you mentioned in those big conferences, they've got like some poor showings where it's just weighing too much in my head. Even like a Seton Hall, like they lost to URI. Granted, it was at Rhode Island, so it's a little bit different situation. But they kind of haven't beaten anybody. That's the issue. Like they've won the games they probably should have, dropped a couple more than they should have. So they're probably there in terms of like the KenPom rankings and whatnot. But like they're, I don't really trust them enough, to be honest with you. UConn, I'm biased because I like Dan Hurley. So I'm like, oh, what if UConn could make a little bit of a run and make the tourney? Xavier's a decent option, honestly. Xavier's always relevant, and I feel like they're underranked or underrated this year, just with their body of work. But that's kind of that's where I lean initially of those deep cuts.
I like Drake. They're 14-2. They're at the top of the Missouri Valley Conference ahead of Loyola Chicago, who is 19-4, but also 14-2 on the season. They've split a series with Loyola Chicago. Got crushed one night, but then won a close one the next one. But other than that, yeah, I could see Drake. I could see that being kind of a popular pick because Loyola Chicago is like an 8 seed in this, and Drake, they have him at a 10. I feel like that for a team that doesn't make sense. You're right. That's like almost Drake is underranked, and that, yeah, that could be prime for a deep tourney run, especially because right now Lenardi's got him playing Colorado. Which I mean, I think that's a classic, like, well, they're power five, so they're in there, at 7. Drake, they could probably be flip flopped and no one would be able to tell the difference. And then, they have Iowa next. And look, I know we love the Big Ten and we, you know, talked early in the season how great Iowa could be, especially if Garza gets hot during March. But boy, Iowa's also had some clunkers and some really disappointing outings. And wouldn't it be Drake to take down Iowa?
I think so, honestly.
Second round?
I like the idea of that. That is true. One team that's probably on the outside looking in, but I just love to watch.
In-state rivalry, by the way.
Oh, that's true. Is that? Yeah,
Drake,
okay.
Yeah, they're in Des Moines.
I don't think I realized that, to be honest with you. And they've been gambling darlings of those degenerates out there this year. I want to say I should know what their record is against the spread, but it's ridiculous. I think they were like 12 or 13-0, and I haven't been paying attention the last couple of weeks, everything going on. But if they've covered, they could very well be 16-0 against the spread, or something pretty close to that, which is, that's a championship in itself. So credit to them. Shout out to Drake. I hope you're listening.
Yeah,
and a great Drake mascot. That's a great college hoops NCAA tournament mascot.
Oh, that Drake.
Oh,
All right. We'll finish up the episode on this one. I know you wanted.
You said draft now, cry later.
Yeah.
That was. You're not even in the league that I had that as a fantasy football team name.
I wasn't.
That was one of my. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think you knew that. That was one of my team names this year for. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Okay.
Okay. We'll finish up
because it wasn't that creative.
Episode on on a segment you wanted to do here tonight, Gilly. Give us your too early top 25 since next or top 25. Jesus Christ, top or final four for March Madness, because next time we talk to everybody, it's going to be March. Regular season is going to wrap up here, so March Madness literally right around the corner. Gilly, your final four, your too early final four.
Okay.
Not too early, but like slightly earlier than before.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we were, yeah.
Slightly right, less early, slightly later. Yeah.
I'll be boring with my first two. I'm going to say Gonzaga, Baylor. Okay. I think they're just that much better than everyone else. And then I'm going to go bold a little bit. And to be honest, I think last time I hyped them up a bit. No, Houston.
Oh.
Houston. Is that?
I think you picked them last time.
I did, because I love Houston, to be honest with you. Oh, my. And then my fourth, you might have coughed it as a joke, but I'm going Drake.
No.
I could be boring and pick Michigan or even a Florida State, nope, I'm going Drake. I want one flyer. What? As Drake as a Final Four team? Come on.
I mean, it's a fun bet to make for $5.
It's
going to
be
a weird
tournament.
We're trying to be serious here, Gilly. That's a you know what? That's a take you can write in an article for Couch Guy Sports.
Oh, please, an article. I don't know if you know if you did that. There's always one team though that you don't expect, and they're on the fringe of the top 25 at this point. It's not like that crazy of a suggestion. I honestly, Alabama is another team that I was high on. I feel like they might be a little overranked right now. I think they're all the way up to 6. To be honest, if they were low, if they were like in the 15s or something like that, I would probably pick them as my fourth. But for right now, I'll go for the clicks. Fuck it. I'll say, let's go for the clicks and go Drake.
What about you?
You got a final four?
I'm expecting that as a blog on Friday, why Drake is a final four team.
You may see an opinionated internet column, but.
I love it. My final four, I'm going to have Gonzaga 1 again, or just because I had them as my March What Ifness champion last year. I'm all in on Gonzaga. Love the Zags. Love me some Zags. I'm trying to think of like who could else. I just feel Gonzaga. I don't want to be as boring as you and just say Baylor. But I just don't know if there's anyone else to really truly believe in. You wouldn't be able to pick Houston in this bracket because Houston and Baylor run into each other. But I know for the exercise, we're having fun with it. You know what? I'm going to go early with my like kind of sleeper. You took Drake. That's fine. I'll give you Drake. What do you think about my like long shot Final Four team of BYU?
Okay. That's an interesting one. All right. I wouldn't have expected that, to be honest with you. They're in the mix though. They're relevant enough. I could do that. I could see that happening. I haven't watched a whole lot of BYU basketball this year, to be honest with you. But at the same time, they've got some key wins. They could I don't know, decent enough resume to get maybe a 6-7 seed. I feel like that's the ballpark that we're looking at for a team like BYU.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was talking with a female recently about, I don't know why I mentioned
this. Yeah, wow. Congrats to you.
Congrats.
Big round of applause, everyone. No. For Mike Gilligan, he talked to a girl.
No. We were talking about, what was it? She had mentioned like the shows that she watched on TV. And this is a very roundabout way of saying this, so I apologize. And she mentioned The Bachelor, Real Housewives. Etc. And then she mentioned how she was all in on the Real Housewives, Salt Lake City. A lot of them would shout out, you know what? It's cool if you celebrate this in terms of like just being infatuated by Mormons. And I expressed that I was also somewhat like interested in that that season of Real Housewives, and also mentioned in terms of on the topic of Mormons that I find myself compelled to root for the BYU Cougars in college basketball and college football. And she's still talking to me, so I didn't scare her away, but there's your little, that's my roundabout little story a little subtle flex in the midst of it. So there you go.
There you go, ladies. Just so you know, next time when you're with Michael, pillow talk is going to consist of. So I really like Drake. They're a great betting team. I'm going to lean heavy on them in my bracket. Oh man,
I'm going to make my
final four. Yeah, she's like, "What are you thinking about?" And you're going to be like, "Ah, just Drake in the final four. It's going to be awesome."
I just don't know if Houston can hang defensively. I don't. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Sorry. God. So I got two more teams. I know I picked Kansas last time, but I don't believe in them. I'll go Baylor again. Like you said, you know what? Fine. They're just too much better than everybody else.
I really do. I agree with that.
And then from there, I kind of got to pick a Big Ten team. I find it hard to believe somebody out of the Big Ten will not make the Final Four. I don't love Iowa. I'm wondering if Michigan maybe is peaking a little bit too early. Sure. But I'm going to go with Michigan just because they have the wins to prove it. I don't love Illinois. You know, we already kind of talked about Ohio State, how we don't love them. Illinois hasn't really played anyone recently very well, and they're kind of inconsistent. They just lost to Michigan State the other night. So why not? You know what? Let's roll with Michigan. They're having an incredible year. Keep it rolling with the Wolverines. So boring 3-1 seeds, Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and then out of left field with BYU and Gilly's Cougars. So
how brave of you.
I'm very brave. Yes. They only lost by 11 to Gonzaga the other day. So you know what? That puts them in that upper echelon of possible Final Four teams. So
true.
But that does it for us this week on Verbally Committed. We're back. We'll do every week now. Don't worry about it. We're not going to move again. So, but again, presented by CouchGuySports.com, all your place for internet blogs. And I mean, what would you call it? What's the equivalent of a podcast to what people call an art? What is this, like a newscast? This is a sports center segment.
This is a sports cast.
A talk show.
Live. Can you see the shirt right now, by the way?
I can see it. Yes. Go. Do you know what, Eagles fly.
Do you know what it is, though? It's a Carson Wentz jersey I bought for like $5 on the street on the way to a couple years ago.
On your way to buying $20 six packs of beers?
No, it was before. I know. How ridiculous is that? I'm still upset about that. I bought it from a random, I don't know, man on the street that was selling t-shirts for cheap. So there you go. Carson Wentz, RIP. Not RIP, but end of an era. RIP.
Oh, man. He lived a great life.
He had those few weeks where he was an MVP candidate. Right. That's true.
Frank Reich. I actually like that trade for the Colts. I think that's a great trade with him, with Frank Reich.
It's kind of win-win.
Yeah. Low risk, high reward
anymore. I don't know. I like it. I like it too.
Philly screwed themselves though, cause they tried to get Matt Stafford type haul in return. And that's just like, no, you weren't getting that. No. Stop.
Especially with that knock contract. Off. It's just a nightmare.
Right. No, wasn't happening. So knock it off. You can't sit there and be like, we don't like this guy anymore. And then like the difference was Matt Stafford was like, can I leave? Like I've put in my time here. May I leave? Like I've sacrificed so much for you. And Detroit's like, all right, you have as a gift, parting gift. You may leave Detroit. With Philly, Carson was like,
exactly. Matt Stafford didn't lose his job. Yeah. Right. No, exactly.
Matt Stafford was just, you know, hurt and was like, I've given so much to you. Like, can you give something back? And you're like, yes, you can leave. That's what we'll give back to you. So, but
Carson Wentz from
North Dakota State, the Fargo Dome.
I thought I had you for a second.
Come on. That's what
hesitated. I saw it in your eyes.
Fargo Moorhead Red Hawks play. I've been there. It is the Fargo Dome or the Fargo Dome. The house that Carson Wentz built, and now the house that Michael Lang plays at. Oh, wait. Is it? Oh.
True.
I don't know. We know something.
Shout out Michael Lang.
We know secrets. Sources. Closest situation. That's me.
Get emotional on the case.
Episode. There's so many people right now. They're just like, who the fuck is Michael Lang? Why are they all excited about it? But no, that does it for us. Verbally Committed. Episode 30 something. I don't know. I can't remember what the last one was. It was weeks ago.
You'll read on your screen. We don't need to.
Yeah, you'll find it. we'll find out. I don't know. Presented by Couch Guy Sports. I'm Connor Mustachio Ryan.
I am Mike in Philly, Gilly Ginn.
Still don't know how you haven't changed your Twitter handle. Bye, everybody.